Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
President Trump has also said that Communist China will not invade Taiwan on his watch. So our goal is to prevent war, to make the cost too high, and peace the only option. And we will do this with a strong shield of deterrence forged together with you, America's great allies and defense partners. Together, we will show what it means to execute peace through strength.
You know, it's a phrase we've all heard before, peace through strength. But, of course, what Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense here, is talking about in his major policy address in Singapore over the weekend was exactly what he said there, that in order, it's not enough to just believe in peace because some people do not believe in peace, right? And if you are China, you believe that war may be beneficial to you. Military aggression may accomplish for you what you cannot accomplish through peaceful mechanisms. You're not satisfied with the distribution of power and wealth and influence in the world. You want more. And this is not a new thing. This is human nature. Human nature is violent and greedy and filthy and does not care about other people. It's, you know, not the gospel, right? It's, if you look at the history of whether it's Persia or whether it's Roman, Rome, or whether it's the British Empire, you know, empire is empire, and people have wanted to expand their territory and their power throughout all of human history. The weird thing, and we are in a weird place in, you know, this time, is we have a basic peace established around the principle of let's all get along, let's respect each other, let's let countries do what countries do, and let's not have an empire. You know, the U.S. is not an empire. The U.S. is the superpower right now, but we're not an empire. You know, we went and prevented and undid invasions in World War II and have tried to do that in other places, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But when we get done, we leave. You know, we saved Europe from Germany and then saved Germany from itself, and then we left. You know, and we saved Japan, right? Saved Asia from Japan and then Japan from itself and then left and allowed them to grow into their own countries. That's weird historically. You know, historically, you stay and you dominate and you create an empire. We don't do that. Okay. But there are still people who want to grow empires. You know, Putin wants an empire. 0% doubt. Putin wants at least the former Soviet Union, right? And certainly much more than that. He will be like the greatest thing he could ever say on his deathbed is, I had more than Khrushchev had, right? Like that would be for him, winning. She is the same way in China. We want more. And this is, not to belabor the obvious, but historically speaking, China and their dominion over land Asia, I mean, just think about some of the dynasties that China has been at the center of. China doesn't think of themselves as the upstart aggressor. You know, they think of themselves as the natural inheritor of a tradition of 5,000 years of Asian human history. And there was this blip in the middle where they weren't in charge. And they should be again. And not just of Asia, but of the whole world. Americans, we don't think of ourselves as needing to be in charge of the world. We think of ourselves as hoping that the world will take care of its own stuff. The Chinese want to be in charge of the world, or at least the leaders do. The Russians want to be in charge of the world, or at least the leaders do, right? Okay, so how do we operate in a space where they're not happy with the status quo, where they're not satisfied with the status quo? Well, first step is Taiwan. As they have said, their goal is to be able to invade Taiwan by 2027. We all know that Ukraine was a kind of test run of sorts, not just for Russian expansion, but for, you know, the Chinese are watching too. Why is Yemen firing on shipping routes, in the Middle East? Is it just like them trying to harass our shipping, or is that Iran testing its power? Is that also them testing our response to see what kind of response we might have when somebody, I don't know, let's say a massive Southeast Asian, world dominion hegemony desiring country like China builds fake islands and harasses travel and tries to expand its territory and conquer its neighbors. Well, I don't know. They might look to see what the Houthis did to thwart international shipping and how they responded to American military attacks. And, like, you see patterns here of what's going on. And so, yes, we're interested in peace in the Ukraine. Yes, we're interested in preventing Iran from having nuclear weapons. But we are pivoting to think about Asia because Asia is the real game.
As we shift our focus to this region, and as Europe steps up and takes greater ownership for its own security, President Trump and I will be counting on you, on this room, our allies and partners, to be force multipliers for peace alongside the United States. We ask, and indeed we insist, that our allies and partners do their part on defense.
Amen. And we will do our part. You know, $1 trillion military budget is part of our part. But also, you know, it's Pensacola. We make pilots here. We make helicopter and jet pilots and, you know, propeller pilots, like all kinds of pilots we make here. We also train. Remember last year we did the Tenant Command series? We train cryptologists and we train aviation mechanics. And we train air flight controllers. We train all kinds of people here. Because if Pensacola doesn't do what it does, the Navy can't do what it does. Remember, I would always ask these guys the Tenant Command questions. What happens if your mission, you don't do your mission? What happens? Okay. It's not theoretical. This is how do you fight a military, potentially, we hope not, but how do you fight a military war against a water power? Well, you got to be a water power. And we are. America's always been a water power, right? Indo-Pacific Command. We are a water power. But that means ships, and that means planes, and that means submarines, and that means patrols, and that means amphibious capabilities. And that means working with island partners in the Pacific that are going to collaborate with us and prevent this China rise if they decide to do it militarily. So that means partnering with them and getting them to spend so that they're ready. And that means training and drilling with them. And we'll get back to this. But, like, Pensacola is an essential part of everything Pete Hegseth is talking about when he goes to Singapore because of the Navy Marine importance of our training mission here. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
And that was such an amazing series that you did on
the Ten Commands.
So I just give you props on that. No accidents to let you know about right now. If you are on Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10, expect about a 7 to 10 minute congestion delay in that area. But that's all I really see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Pete Hegseth talking to the partners, to the friendly audience, and of course the unfriendly, the Chinese are watching, in Singapore over the weekend.
In fact, the only way to ensure lasting alliances and partnerships is to make sure that each side does its part and sees the benefit. We will stand with you and work alongside you to deter Chinese aggression.
I mean, we hope we can deter it. If you ask me, it seems like we will not be able to deter. But if we can get there, if we can get there fast enough to deterrence, then good. But it just doesn't seem like China wants that.
NATO members are pledging to spend 5% of their GDP on defense, even Germany.
That's an amazing development in the last month, that Germany is willing to raise its GDP spend on military to 5%. That's, you know, because the goal had been 3%. Get them to 3% is the NATO standard. And now they're talking about 5% because they see. They see what's going on. And they see that if the United States is going to be pivoting to Indo-PACOM, then all of a sudden, Europe, uh-oh. We got to do our part. Good. Yes, exactly.
So it doesn't make sense for countries in Europe to do that while key allies in Asia spend less on defense in the face of an even more formidable threat, not to mention North Korea.
Not to mention.
Ultimately, a strong, resolute, and capable network of allies and partners is our key strategic advantage.
It is. So what strategies? And toward the second half of the speech, he got into a lot of specifics that I'm not going to get into today. I've been doing this all day. If you're just joining us now, we've been talking about this 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock hour. I really think this is we have a habit of paying the attention to the things that are kind of the most captivating, interesting, you know, whatever. And I said this last year, I'll say it again. There are things in the news that are interesting, and that's fine. But at least for my take, I would much rather, which is why I'm spending time on this, I would much rather have you understand this speech and the implications of it than understand all the rest of the stuff that's in the news right now. All the rest of the stuff is fine. All the rest of the stuff is not nearly as significant as this is, because understanding where we are globally vis-a-vis China, it's the game right now. And we don't talk about it every day, and we're not going to talk about it every day. But today, given this speech, we're going to talk about it in depth, because this really matters. And again, here locally, you know, you got kids who are in junior high. Those kids might be called on to fight war against China. You know, you got kids in high school and college. Those kids might be fighting war against China. This is not just a theoretical going to the military, get a good discount on your, you know, your college tuition or whatever, you know, get a good train. This is, we're preparing for war. And we hope we don't have to fight it.
We're doing this here in the Indo-Pacific in three distinct ways. And forgive me as I go into a little bit of detail. First, by improving our forward force posture. Second, by helping allies and partners strengthen their defense capabilities. And third, by rebuilding defense industrial bases.
Okay, we've talked about that quite a bit, rebuilding our defense industrial base here at home, onshoring manufacturing, building shipbuilding, massive investments in shipbuilding. I mean, this is part of the budget. Also helping our allies, that's a key part. But forward combat, you know, forward posture in terms of our ability to respond.
So first, the Defense Department is prioritizing forward-postured, combat-credible forces in the Western Pacific to deter by denial along the first and second island chains.
And look, I'm just going to play one. He talked for like 7 or 8 minutes about specifics in this regard. I'm not going to play all of that for you. It's probably a little bit too much in the weeds for, you know, even for me. Okay. So I figure for you as well. But I'll just give you one example of some of the things that we're doing specifically that affect our ability to respond to, contain, deter China.
In my first trip to the Indo-Pacific in March, I traveled to the Philippines to meet with President Marcos and Secretary of National Defense Teodoro. While there, we announced our commitment to deploy more advanced U.S. military capabilities to the Philippines. We announced the inaugural overseas deployment of Nemesis, a U.S. Marine Corps mobile anti-ship missile system, to the Philippines. The 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment, one of the U.S. military's most capable and lethal formations, exercised Nemesis along with our Philippine allies. Together, we deployed the system to the Batanes Islands on the Luzon Strait between the Philippines and Taiwan. This enhanced our interoperability and improved our readiness on cutting-edge platforms, where we need them and when we need them.
And again, he went into a lot of detail about how we are training with our partners in the Pacific and what technology we're using and how we're learning to fight with them, alongside them, to use them as part of a defense network against China. Like I said, very detailed. This was quite a speech. And the last thing I'll leave you with, this was kind of, you know, his sort of final comments on the matter.
So as we mark 80 years since the end of World War II, we owe it to today's warriors, to our citizens, as we put our citizens first and you put your citizens first. We owe it to them, to our children and our grandchildren, to preserve this peace. The motto of my first platoon, first one I led, was "Those who long for peace must prepare for war." And that's exactly what we're doing. We are preparing for war in order to deter war, to achieve peace through strength.
And he said many times in this speech that the Trump administration does not desire war, but the clear message was, but we will if we have to. Trump hates war. I mean, you can say anything else you want to say about it. He hates war. It's obvious from whether it's nuclear war or ordinary war, being proud of not having had war start under his watch, the only president who didn't start a war, you know, nobody invaded on his, like all of that stuff. He hates warfare. But he's willing to engage in it and threaten it in order to create deterrence that preserves the peace. 725 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying a home, doing a real estate transaction of any kind, selling, you know, picking up a rental, whatever the case may be, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with that. 165 homes sold last year, 175 the year before that. So they sell three and a half, four a week. And what they do is they stage it, they photograph it, they list it, they do the open house, and they have kind of a formula for this. And, you know, when times were easy, they were, you know, same day cash offers above list price. Now it takes a little bit longer, but it has started to come back. As she says when she's on Pep Talk, you know, we're starting to get multiple offers on some houses. That's not all, But things are moving a little bit more more rapidly these days. And, you know, understanding where the market's at, what's reasonable, what's likely, what you can get, what you can't get, what you have to say yes to, what you don't have to say yes to, that's all from experience. So when I say the 3, 3.5, 4 a week, that's experience, not just getting you to closing, but knowing what you do and don't have to do in order to get there. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are still accident-free right now. If you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay there. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and spend the summer in the sand relaxing and enjoying the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the new Cahoots. This acoustic duo from Pensacola, formed by songwriters Michael Garcia and Gordon Frank, will take the stage and they'll blend the sound of folk, bluegrass, and Americana. It's Bands on the Beach happening this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Now look what that dog did. He knows I can't see without my glasses.
All right, and if you were air drumming, then we're friends.
I wasn't as good as you, but...
It's from Scooby-Doo. It's Velma.
Oh, okay. I know, but
glasses.
You have the answers.
729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Bill Gates says he plans to spend the majority of his fortune improving health and education across Africa. He was in Ethiopia at the headquarters of the African Union on Monday, and Gates said he plans to put $200 billion from the Gates Foundation towards addressing challenges across the African continent. Closing arguments are expected today in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial in Lower Manhattan. After about 6 weeks of trial, 24 witnesses, a lot of testimony. Defense attorneys and prosecutors will be giving their closing arguments today before it goes to a jury. And today is my favorite day, Andrew. It's National Egg Day.
All right, you do like that. You've got chickens at home, right?
I do, lots of them.
And ducks.
And ducks, yeah. Eggs everywhere. But the good news, though, on National Egg Day, the price of eggs is down 61% since March.
It's been down a little bit. I'll take it. That's good. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. National Egg Day. We'll talk to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, coming up next. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Egyptian man in custody for an anti-Semitic attack in Boulder, Colorado, burning 12 people, tells police he'd planned it for a year and that he'd do it again.
Police say the suspect targeted this group, which regularly demonstrates for the Israeli hostages in Gaza. They say he went to their location in Boulder dressed as a gardener so he could blend in and waited for them to arrive. Police say the suspect, 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Solomon, had tried to buy a gun, but he was rejected because he's not a legal citizen, so he turned to Molotov cocktails.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The liberal candidate Lee Jae-myung is predicted to win South Korea's presidential election, looking at exit polls.
This election wasn't meant to happen until 2027, but 6 hours last December changed everything. President Yoon Suk-yeol declared martial law, citing threats from anti-state forces, but Parliament overruled him, and then it impeached him.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees right now and partly cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get more on our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Escambia County is set to vote on a $42.5 million offer from Tri-W Development to purchase the OLF 8 site in Beulah. That would include a $100,000 deposit and a six-month inspection period where Tri-W could conduct some evaluations. If the deal is approved, closing could happen as soon as early 2026. The agreement would require compliance with the OLF 8 master plan, and there could be a restrictive covenant to ensure future owners would adhere to development guidelines as well. This will all be on the agenda for discussion this Thursday at the Escambia Board of County Commissioners meeting. Two people were taken to the hospital after a Navy helicopter made a hard landing yesterday in Santa Rosa County. That happened at NAS Whiting Field's Navy Outlying Field, Santa Rosa, near Milton. Officials say there was a mishap on the field's helicopter pads during landing. A helicopter training squadron 18 instructor pilot and a student aviator were both taken to the hospital for further evaluation after the incident. More than 80 residents at the Maxwell Respite Center will have to move by June 30th. The shelter's landlords have now reportedly secured a new tenant for that property. The center, run by Reentry Alliance Pensacola, has helped to transition over 1,000 individuals into permanent housing in the last 3 years. Executive Director Vince Wibbs Jr. is now seeking some community assistance to find housing for the displaced residents, which include families, women and children, and veterans as well. REAP is being kicked out so the landlord can move another nonprofit into that space, the Overflow Health Alliance. And they provide medical services, case management, also some residential treatment. REAP does say some of their residents may be able to stay after that new tenant moves in, but most of them will have to find a new place to go. The Florida Highway Patrol looking for a driver involved in a hit-and-run crash with a motorcycle last week. That happened at Blue Angel Parkway in Longleaf Creek. FHP says a man driving a white Nissan Altima clipped the rear of a motorcycle and caused the bike then to crash into another vehicle. Troopers say the initial driver then fled the scene of that crash. The Altima was found abandoned at a Circle K on Mobile Highway. The motorcyclist involved suffered serious injuries in that crash. A new law makes it easier to kick squatters out. Governor Ron DeSantis signed an anti-squatting bill into law yesterday, SB 322, that makes it easier for commercial property owners to regain possession of their property by removing those with no authority to be there. The governor says Florida doesn't tolerate squatters and stands with its property owners. A man is now suing Universal Orlando after a ride he was on malfunctioned. This man from St. John's County filed a lawsuit last week in Orange County. He was on the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey ride on the Islands of Adventure. And this was 2 years ago, apparently, when that ride malfunctioned. He said he was stuck midair for over an hour and claims he suffered injuries and mental anguish. He's now suing for $50,000. Universal has not responded to that lawsuit. 7:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. One hit-and-run accident that just happened on Olive Road and Davis Highway. No roadblock associated with this. It's off to the side of the road, but we are seeing some delays right there in front of Olive Baptist Church. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
You're going to have a lovely day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting Wednesday with a high near 87. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain, high near 89. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 74 degrees in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, and in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Popeyes is coming for McDonald's and its snack wrap with a new menu item, chicken wraps, which are already available. The new menu items are available in classic, spicy, and honey mustard, and are made with crispy chicken strips, lettuce, shredded cheese, and pickles in a warm tortilla. Data says Tesla's sales of new cars in Norway skyrocketed 213% to 2,600 in May from a year earlier. The increase was mostly driven by sales of the firm's revamped Model Y compact sport utility vehicle. Uber said in a regulatory filing that Pierre Dimitri Gorkati, the company's senior vice president of delivery, is stepping down from his position. Gorkati joined Uber as a general manager in France in 2012. Uber also said Andrew McDonald, senior vice president of mobility, will become chief operating officer. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 35, the NASDAQ up 128. That's your money now.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Joining us here in studio, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to Ben Scola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, put his mic on. There we go. All right. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Nope, still not there.
How are y'all doing?
We there now?
I'm on Channel 3.
You're on Channel 3 here on News Radio. That's
come on,
well, man. Well, there you go.
Good morning.
So apparently, if you eat blueberries in the Walmart and you also have fentanyl in your person, this could go poorly for you if you don't pay for the blueberries.
Yeah, you got to think these things are connected, right? You know, you got to think that you may well be on something to walk around Walmart and just, you know, picking and eating the blueberries out of the package.
Sometimes you're hungry.
Meandering.
Yeah.
As
okay.
they say.
All right.
And then just throwing the, disregarding the package and trying to walk out without paying for what you've just eaten.
And if you nibble the blueberries and then pay for them, it's fine. But when you don't pay for them.
I don't know if it's fine or not. I'm not sure what the rules are in Walmart. I would think that it's not a, buffet.
Well, it's sort of a risk, I suppose. But, you know, in this case, the astute employees were watching. And they stopped the person for shoplifting, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, they are pretty good at picking out shoplifters, but I would imagine if you're walking through the aisles just eating blueberries, you would draw attention to yourself, both with the blueberries and the blue tongue and the lips and whether you had fingers you'd have. But then you decide to walk out. And like you just said, the bigger issue there is that you have a bunch of fentanyl on you. You have what, methamphetamine? You have all this crap on you, and you go to jail for it.
We're glad for dumb criminals.
We are very thankful. Yes.
So yeah. Okay. Well, you also had another meth arrest dealing with a traffic stop. So, you know, which often happens. A Molino guy charged with meth after a traffic stop. Is that right?
Yeah, it was that simple. Our guys are out there stopping cars for violations. And in this particular case, it was a tag light violation, and they ended up stopping him. And probable cause led to them seizing a little bit of fentanyl and some other drugs and arrested him for it as well.
And it seems like a weird thing because you have these traffic stops that lead to other things, but it happens all the time. And, you know, I got to imagine that part of the policing strategy, you tell me if I'm wrong, is we just want to make people who are drug dealers feel nervous about driving around with their drugs.
Well, I mean, there's a law that says you have to follow you can't speed, you can't violate a stop sign or a red light and that sort of thing. So that's where it starts with the violation. And you would think that people that are carrying drugs would be a little bit careful with the type of car to get into. Don't get in a stolen car. Don't get in a car without a tag. Mm-hmm. Don't go 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Don't do those sorts of things. And a lot of them probably do that, actually. But occasionally we'll stop a car. And we'll end up finding some people that are violating a much more serious law than traffic violation.
Do you ever get suspicious of the driver that's very well behaved? Because I know, that's the way I think about it. Like, if I were going to commit a crime, you know, if I had a body in the trunk, okay, I'm driving the speed limit. I'm stopping with a full and complete stop at every. Because you don't want to get pulled over for something dumb. When you're doing a crime. I mean, obviously, I'm glad that criminals don't think this way. But the other side of the thing is if somebody's driving very, very attentively.
Too good.
Too well.
Too good.
Full and complete stop, pause, then go. Yeah, I mean, does that draw attention too?
Well, I would think that I see where you're going there. But in my experience, back in the former life when I was a real policeman, as y'all reminded me before we got on the air.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that.
When a police car is behind a car, they drive great.
Yeah,
they do
perfect.
Their best to drive really good.
Yeah.
No one speeds.
Right.
You know, no one passes you. Everyone's coming to a complete stop, as you mentioned. They're all in the middle of the lane. Everyone's got their seatbelt on. Everyone does their best. So, again, to find that one person that's driving too good. Now, when you're looking for a DUI, if someone's going super slow.
That's what I was thinking about DUIs.
You can, hey, that car is going 30 and a 55 or
right.
something, there's something going on there. But again, when you see the cruiser car, or certainly one with lights on, you drive your very best.
Everybody be okay, so that doesn't uniquely identify.
Unless you're doing drugs, in which case, or you're drunk, in which case you need to be stopped.
Anyway. We're glad if you misbehave. Not because of the misbehavior, but because it lets us pull you over and arrest you. Talking to Chip Simmons about apparently, good strategies
for
if you're a criminal.
You're speaking for me.
Yeah.
John, not glad they're misbehaving.
John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. We are back accident free. No delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Speaking of dumb criminals, if you steal somebody's identity, fraudulently buy a truck, the next thing you want to do is post about it on social media. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot here as well. I want to make sure this that people understand we are not making light of identity theft. That is
absolutely
devastating to a victim in identity theft. It takes them months, sometimes years, to clear their name and clear their credit. In this particular case, you had a lady that stole someone's identity, and they had just enough information, and then she walked into a local car dealership, actually purchased a truck. She had her eye on this silver. Not silver, but a Silverado, red Silverado, and then she ended up buying that truck, and then she had the audacity to get this photo taken with a, you know, look at me in my new ride. In fact, you can see the picture we posted it online. It had the big bow on it.
That's what caught my attention is you guys featured this on your Facebook page, yeah?
Yeah, and then she, so somehow, and again, we're still looking into this. We have a suspicion, but she let an acquaintance of her use this truck, or it ended up in an acquaintance's hands. He abandoned it in someone's private property who subsequently got it towed away. We recovered it, sent it back to the dealership. Well, the suspect...
She paid for it with the fraudulent money?
Right.
Okay, so she basically created a bank loan fraudulently through the fake identity.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
She pretended to be someone else, bought a truck in their name, and used them for credit. She's driving around, and then she's allowing someone else to use this truck, within a day.
Okay.
And again, what's going on there? We have our suspicions. But anyways, the truck ends up on a private property. They don't like it. They get it towed away. We end up finding the truck, getting it, and returning it back to dealership. Well, the suspect in this case, the identity thief, decided that, hey, wait, they got my truck. I'm going to call. So they called the sheriff's office. They called us. She calls us and says, hey, I want to go in and get that truck recovered. And pretending to be, the
fraudulent
victim,
yeah, okay,
of this thing. So, yeah, she had the audacity to steal the truck, take the picture with the truck, and then it was recovered, try to get it back from the sheriff's office, all under this assumed name, while still in character.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna play a role.
She's committed.
I guess she's playing it all the way through, you know, hoping for the Academy Award here. And in the end.
And then she went to
a different
jail.
Kind of award?
Yeah, well, yeah. You dumbest criminal type thing. Yeah, pretty crazy. But, you know, we put it out not just to let people know what's taking place, although we do try to be transparent, but there's an indication that she has been trying to buy things throughout the town, and we want to make sure that people understand, don't buy anything from this person that looks like this, because she's under a number of different names.
North Escambia says you have some suspects in the mailbox demolition of 2025. Like 10 or 15 mailboxes got beat up, and you got some suspects maybe?
We have some people of interest. That,
okay.
You know, that we, you know, people were kind enough, really, to give us some surveillance video and give us information. Mm-hmm, hey, we think it's this. And we're looking at whether it's some individuals on a four-wheeler that have been driving through the area. I don't think we've made an arrest yet. In fact, I didn't talk to the investigators yesterday, so I'm not aware of any arrests. But we did have some people of interest with regards to the, 10 to 15 mailboxes. Yeah. They were smashed up. I've seen some pictures online. You know, and this stuff has happened for 50 years.
Right.
You know, people do this sort of thing. So we think it's just like it has been in the 60s and 70s and 80s with a bat of some sort.
Joyriding kids with a bat.
Driving through and, you know, school's out. And you know, so we're wondering if that might be a, you know, something they're trying to get involved in.
You have what do you have coming up? You have Coffee with a Cop coming up?
Yeah, on June the 20th, we have a Coffee with a Cop. There's apparently a new Bagelheads on Davis Highway. I've got it right here. It's 10,015 North Davis Highway. It looks like Coffee with a Cop is scheduled for the Bagelheads. So we're gonna be up there about 7:30 in the morning. Come join us.
It's fun. Are you a new law just got signed yesterday by Governor DeSantis that makes it easier to evict squatters, makes it easier for hotels who have people who are not paying or doing what they're supposed to be doing, expedites the removal of unauthorized individuals, safeguards property owners. Is this? I have always heard that this is a real problem, that getting rid of people who shouldn't be on your property if they've been there too long is just a challenge. It becomes a nightmare. A, is that really a problem here in Escambia County? B, will this new law help you?
Yes and yes. There was some legislation last year, I believe, also that made it easier for law enforcement to get rid of some people. So in the past, people have claimed that they have residency or squatter's rights or whatever mm-hmm. they want to call it. Because they stayed in a location. So we go there and it's an abandoned house and they say, you can't evict me. You can't make me leave because I'm getting mail here. I'm doing some, I've established power or utilities here. And it's always kind of really stuck in my craw that, hey, you're not the owner here. You can't do this. So this past 2 years, there's been some, I'm not aware of the legislation that was just signed that you're talking about, but I know last year there was some stuff that strengthened the law enforcement officer's ability to get people out. It requires an affidavit from the owner saying certain things that you have no right to be here and that sort of thing. There was no rental agreement, verbal or written, but between them. And we will side on the owners, with the owners mm-hmm. In these types of situations. So, because again, you can't just take someone's property because you're just sitting there and you refuse to leave. And we get calls like this all the time.
Yeah.
And it does make it easier. So things are getting a little bit better on that regard. But there is a requirement on the owner that they provide this affidavit that they don't have that type of a agreement.
Somebody asked me a good question the other day that I had not thought of. We've talked many, many times about the pit maneuver, about using your car, your vehicles to stop somebody else who's driving, to spin them around and get them to stop. How do they practice that? How do they learn to do it?
How do we practice that?
Yeah, how do you video simulation, real life? How do they learn?
Both, but mostly it's real life. We have our older cars. We weld big, large pieces of metal on the front of them, and then we practice. We go to a driving range that we use.
Not a golf driving range,
an actual big parking driving lot. Right. Yeah, an open driving range. And we practice it. We practice
really?
It time and time again. We do it every year so that everyone understands. Now, they learn this in what we call rookie school or police academy as well. So to me, there's only one way to really learn it, and that's to do it.
Yeah.
And so we practice it in real life with these mocked up older vehicles that we have. And then there's experience. Quite frankly, there's nothing like experience, and we continue to push to make sure that the conditions are correct and do what you got
to
do.
The deputies who get to drive in the fleeing vehicles in these scenarios, do they view that as a reward or a punishment?
It's just your turn. It's your turn to get in there. You kind of know.
Because you
learn a little bit about how it feels to be pitted.
Yes, yeah.
And then, there's some constant conversations about, that didn't quite work right. It didn't spin the car the way we wanted it to spin. And you also understand what happens at certain speeds and various speeds and when you're making turns and when you're driving straight. There's an art to this. Now, we put out a video, I guess last week, maybe a week and a half ago, I did a press conference, and we had an armed robber just robbed a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
And that individual, the pit looked a little different than what we typically practice, because this was this guy had a gun. He had the money and a gun in his car.
Yeah.
And our pit maneuver looked a little bit differently in that situation because that the deputy had to improvise and to stop this individual from committing more crimes.
Right.
He was danger to society.
That's very interesting because I mean, that makes perfect sense. You train on anything that involves that kind of level of force. Why wouldn't you train on, pitting a car? So,
right.
And it makes perfect sense that that's how, but I'm glad somebody asked because that educated me. All right, last thing, and I don't quite know what to do with this here, but we learned something about you today. We were talking about the news story at the beginning of the show, right before the show came on. We're talking about Popeyes going to war with, McDonald's and trying to entice their chicken customers away. And we learned that Sheriff Simmons has a food preference.
I don't know, food preference. And to be clear, y'all two were talking about it. I don't walk around talking about hamburgers versus chicken.
When you go to McDonald's, what do you order, sir?
Well, I'll typically order a collection of things. A cheeseburger, and I'll always have some chicken nuggets.
There's
nothing wrong with nuggets.
The chicken
nuggets.
And I will
not apologize.
Aren't you a little bit old for the chicken nugget?
What, is there an age limit for chicken nuggets? Those things are delicious.
Saucy nugs.
They're chicken and their nuggets. A little barbecue sauce, that's good stuff right there. I'm a growing boy. Everyone's listening thinking, I can go for some nuggets right now. And they probably have to wait until, at lunchtime. 10,
I just think I know what we're doing for our frivolous topic today, all courtesy of Sheriff Simmons. I will not apologize for eating the saucy nugs. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging us, getting us to laugh, and teaching us what's right and wrong about the law. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Not seeing any other delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Yes? No? I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Good morning, 7:57 on News Radio 92.3. It's a bold strategy, Kyle, and let's see if it pays off for him. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, it's like asking the sheriff if he still eats chicken nuggets, which he does. And who am I to dispute?
Nothing wrong with some chicken nuggets.
Little extra nugs on the
That's
side.
Right. You got to have those nuggets. China is disputing the Trump administration's claims that it broke the Geneva trade agreement. The country instead accused the U.S. of breaching deal terms. This comes as trade tensions between the two nations have risen again after the Trump administration put more export restrictions on semiconductor design software and chemicals to China. And International Economic Development Agency lowering the U.S. economic growth forecast. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has downgraded its predictions for U.S. growth this year from 2.2% to 1.6%. And a massive data breach might be the biggest ever in the U.S. A security researcher uncovered a massive breach that compromised more than 184 million passwords for platforms like Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, and Snapchat.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. You see this story? It was all over my social media about how Pensacola has dropped 4,528 spaces in the best places to live, according to U.S. News and World Report. 135 officially. Okay, so I had questions, and oh my God, it was so hard to figure this out. U.S. News and World Report just overwrites their old stuff, so it's very hard to find the year over year. I had to go to like the web archive or whatever. It's true, okay? In 2023, we were rated a 6.4. We were the 44th in the nation. 6.5 the year after a 28. 6.5 at a 31. And then this year we dropped to a 6.0 for 166. They also added like 100 cities to the list. So it's not clear that we just plain dropped, you know, that many spaces. But yeah, unfortunately, they don't tell you why a 6.0 instead of a 6.5. Look, did Pensacola get that much worse in a year? I don't think so. Did you notice a difference? Neither did I.
Local news.